Welcome to the United Soccer Coaches Podcast, presented by League Apps. League Apps is the leading youth sports management platform, providing organizations with the technology and professional development they need to run, grow, and win. On a mission to bring the benefits of sport to kids everywhere, they go beyond technology to provide leaders with professional development and relationship building, and to work with sports-based organizations to address issues of accessibility and equality. To learn more, find them at leagueapps.com or as League Apps on all of the social networks. Now, here's the host of the show, longtime soccer broadcaster and voice of United Soccer Coaches, Dean Linke.
I am Dean Linke. This is the United Soccer Coaches Podcast. It is presented by League Apps, and we have another great show. We begin with Tim Ryerson, who is the Director of Chapter Management for the Get on the Bus program, Learning Life Skills Through Soccer. Tim Ryerson also works with McLean Youth Soccer Association, led by Louise Waxler, who won the honor award. His career is esteemed. It was Tim who had the vision to create and pilot the Get on the Bus program in his home state of Maryland. Tim has been receiving a ton of media attention. I saw him at the convention, and you'll hear his thoughts and breakdown on this amazing Get on the Bus program. Tim Ryerson kicks things off. Former United Soccer Coaches President Ashley Fontes has started the W League TLH Reckoning program, and she hired Stacy Wilson. So two wonderful women. We'll talk to Stacy Wilson about being the new head coach of the W League team, the TLH Reckoning. Thank you, Ashley Fontes, for sending me a jersey as well. I'll get that posted on social media. So it's Tim Ryerson, then Stacy Wilson. Then we continue to keep an eye on what Garen Taylor Tyree has going on as the chair of the Veterans Active Military and Affiliates Community, known as the VAMA Coaches Community, as we will once again talk to their head coach, Major Aaron Eisler, who was joined at the convention by Lieutenant Colonel Marcy Walton. We'll talk to both of them coming out of the VAMA Coaches Community. And in our 30 Under 30 program, we visit with Kansas assistant coach by way of Xavier, Tyler Smaha. And we get things started with the Get on the Bus program with Tim Ryerson after this message from our presenting sponsor, League Apps.
We bet you didn't get into this business for the back office duties. That's why we created League Apps, the industry's leading youth sports management platform. So you can spend less time with busy work and more time doing what you love. League Apps provides organizations with the technology and professional development they need to run, grow, and win. Go to leagueapps.com to learn more. League Apps is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the United Soccer Coaches Podcast. Welcome back to the United Soccer Coaches Podcast, presented by League Apps. Once again, here's the host of the show, Dean Linke.
Welcome back to, in this case, the United Soccer Coaches Podcast, where we're joined by Tim Ryerson, who is the Associate Executive Director for McLean Youth Soccer. Louise Waxler just won the honor award at the convention out in Anaheim. And more importantly, he joins us today on the United Soccer Coaches Podcast because he has started this incredible program called Get on the Bus. And we're going to be all about it, Tim. But before we do that, I like people to know who they're hearing from. So tell me the Tim Ryerson story. What did you do before you ended up at McLean Youth Soccer and got this Get on the Bus thing going, you know, high school, college, that type of thing?
Sure. Thanks for taking the time today and having me on. Really appreciate it. I'm a byproduct of the American Youth Soccer System. Grew up in the state of Maryland and was lucky enough to move to California my freshman year of high school. So I started in Maryland and then went to California, played for a legendary Kinnear family. Wow. Out there in Fremont, California, at Mission San Jose High School. Came back for my senior year at Oakland Mills High School, a perennial powerhouse in Howard County, Maryland. From there, went to UNLV and played soccer at UNLV, and then decided Vegas was not the place for me. and went and played for Pete Carungi at UMBC when Pete took his first college job, and only college job some time ago. His first year, I played for Pete at UMBC. So that was a lot of fun. Got into the coaching right after college. Have always been involved in soccer and coaching. And then from there, I just started working kind of on the admin side. So I was in California again after college and basically had the opportunity to start working in the Palo Alto Soccer Club in California and took a more director role there. Moved back to Maryland, started a soccer club, the Ellicott City Soccer Club in Ellicott City, Maryland, from scratch. We had zero players, and so I started a club there. And then about 5 years ago, moved back to California again, took a position with Ballistic United Soccer Club, worked with Kevin Crow, was also a great soccer personality and someone that I learned a lot from. And then it was time to get back to Maryland again. there is a pattern between going back and forth between Maryland. My wife is from California, so we always struggle with where we should probably end up. But then Louise Waxler actually had a position open to work for her at McLean Youth Soccer. So I just started in July of 2023 with Louise there in McLean. So that's the short story.
Great story, though, and a lot of great names along the way. I'm glad that you shared them, and I've always had time all day long for Louise Waxler, and to her credit, she's even had time for me, this little old broadcaster, but that's just kind of who she is. Before we move on to the get on the bus thing, yeah, just one comment on her winning that honor award.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it was an honor to sit at her table. You know, I've known Louise a long time. Through the various times and as a player playing in some of the events that she was running. It's hard to believe it's been that long ago. And then, you know, just keeping up with her in the women's game. Obviously, she's done so much in the women's game. And I'm really fortunate that I can work with her and learn from her. She's been at McLean for 12 years. So, you know, Louise and I have a great relationship, and I'm really proud that she won that award. I think it's great that she was honored with that award. I believe she was the only second woman to receive that award, which speaks volumes of her body of work.
Yeah, she joins Janet Rayfield. Okay, so we're here with Tim Ryerson. We're hoping that all of these trips from California back to Maryland did not involve a bus, but the new project is called Get on the Bus. You got the floor, my man. Tell me all you want to tell me about Get on the Bus, and it'll go out to the entire United Soccer Coaches Podcast viewership, listenership, which is growing by the day.
Yeah, and you do great work. It's great to be on, and thanks for providing a platform for folks like me to share about the things that we're doing. Get on the Bus started because I wanted to break down the two barriers I think that are preventing kids from participating in youth soccer or youth sports, really. That's number one, you know, the pay-to-play model. Obviously, there's a lot of talk about that, but usually we figure that piece out. More importantly, I think, is this whole transportation piece, hence the name Get on the Bus. You know, it's one thing if they can't afford the programs that we're trying to offer kids, and usually we can figure that piece out. But if they can't get there, then it doesn't matter. So started a pilot program in 2017 in Ellicott City, Maryland, with the club because there was a couple pockets there in Ellicott City of kids that we weren't reaching. And this is the reason why. They couldn't get to our programming. So started Get on the Bus. It's a free after-school program. The first hour, we teach the kids a life skill, like putting on sunscreen, drinking more water, moving more, stretching more. We help them with their homework. We teach them English as a second language if needed. Then we feed them a healthy snack. Then they put their gear on, which we give them, jersey, shorts, socks, shin guards, brand new cleats, a ball, and a bag to put it all in. And they change, and then we go out to the field and we have a practice. But then this is where the bus comes in. On the weekend, on Saturdays, we pick those kids up and we bus them to the field to play in the recreational leagues. So we started that in Maryland. U.S. Soccer has the Innovate to Grow Fund grant. And we were a recipient in 2018 to launch in Las Vegas, Nevada. So we took that program, that pilot program from Maryland, and tried it in Vegas, and it was a success. And then COVID hit. But during that time, we also we kept applying for that grant from U.S. Soccer. And fortunately, they liked the program. They awarded us a grant then in Cal North and Tennessee, Cal South, Kentucky, Connecticut, we just were awarded Virginia and Washington. So, you know, the last few years, we've been able to open up this program in other states. We've taken the same concept that we did there in Maryland, and we've launched it across the country. And our goal is to reach 10,000 kids by the World Cup in 2026 in all three host countries. So I'm going to take a trip to Mexico City. I have a group down there called Love Football that has facilities. They just need people to run programs. So they're going to run a Get on the Bus program down in Mexico City, Mexico. And we're looking right now at Canada as well. So what started as just kind of like a program for my little club in Ellicott City at the time, and I get so much joy out of this, has really evolved into a national program. And, you know, I just want to spread the word wherever I can. So thanks for giving me that opportunity.
Well, I'm delighted because it's fascinating. Is there somewhere on the web where people can learn more about this specific Get on the Bus program?
Sure. So Get on the Bus Soccer is GOTB, hence Get on the Bus, GOTBsoccer.org. We have a full website, and on there you can see the map on the website, which shows the different locations that we're currently in, locations we're working on, and videos, too, of each of those locations. We take a full film crew, and we video when we launch a site. And so people can tap into their state or their region and see more about the program there, GOTBsoccer.org.
GOTBsoccer.org. We're here with Tim Ryerson, who is heading up the Get on the Bus. Now, I got to admit, Tim, when I hear it, I think it means maybe you're buying some buses. Are you buying any buses? Are there buses involved, like that you purchase? Or
yeah, no. So we work with the school systems in each of those chapters and work with them to use the school buses.
Okay.
So that's how we're really breaking down that barrier. So we align with a school and a local club in each chapter. So we get a really strong club, many of them, members of the United Soccer Coaches and have memberships with them. And we align with people with, like-minded that want to help in their community solve these two issues. And basically, then we find a school district. We have a MOU with the school districts that we're in. And basically, they work with us on the transportation piece. And then they just run it like a regular bus route on the weekend and pick up the kids and take them to the games so that they can participate on the weekends. That's where the bus comes in.
In your own words, what does Tim Ryerson get out of making this happen?
Oh, man. I get so much joy out of this, and I'm able to give back. The game has given me so much, and I'm so thankful and blessed for that. So I just want kids to have the opportunity. I mean, when you talk about 10,000 kids, I may not know all of these kids personally at the end of the program, but I know that I'll have an impact. They will never forget that they've had the opportunity to participate in something that they would never have an opportunity to do so before. So the kids are thankful. I just love seeing their smiles. The parents are happy. They enjoy it. They go out and watch the games when they can as well. So it's really just personal satisfaction to know that I'm making an impact at the grassroots level in the U.S. You know, a lot of people talk about all the things that they want to do, but very few actually act on it. You know, everybody's got great big ideas, but to be in the trenches, to be able to take this program and conceptualize it and have a vision for 10,000 kids. And now we've served almost 2,500 kids. We have another 7,500 to go before the World Cup. We're right on pace. We'll do 2,000 kids this year in 2024, probably 3,000 in 2025, and, 4,000 or 5,000 after that. And I want to make sure it's a sustainable program, too. There's nothing worse than going into a school system, starting a program and then leaving, So it's really important to align with really strong partners that believe in the program, that also can see a vision on how they can make it a sustainable program in their community. And really, that's it. It's just the opportunity to serve others. That's what I get out of it.
Great answer. Again, the website is GOTB, forgetonthebus.com. This may be outlandish. I don't know. I always feel like there's a couple special players that end up coming out of projects like this. It probably hasn't happened yet. Maybe it has. But let's say through this program, you see the next Landon Donovan or the next Alex Morgan. I mean, is that possible?
Yeah, and you bring up a really good point, you know, that I didn't touch on. Obviously, you know, they go through the program. It's a recreational league, so it's like 6, 8, or 10 weeks. But we've identified kids through this program, and that was the whole point of the Innovate to Grow Fund grant from U.S. Soccer was how do we support programming and then potentially identify kids out of these programs and put them on a track. So we've been successful in all of our chapters of finding kids, identifying kids that have never played. These are all brand new registered players again. You know, they're not registered players and we're just putting them in another program. They have never signed up to play in an organized youth soccer system. So think about 10,000 kids. We're going to find some kids out of those 10,000 kids that really can get it done. So then the idea is the local club, you know, makes a commitment. They understand that, hey, if we identify kids through this program, that they're going to take care of them. So then they have an opportunity to maybe make a club team, you know, and go from there. And that's really how we're helping also identify talent in these chapters. And I'll bring up one specific place where I was just amazed at the talent level, and that's Warren County, Kentucky. It's just outside of Bowling Green. And when we got there, the kids, we had 66 kids that all get on a bus. They get picked up, and they were speaking about 20 different languages. So highly refugee population there in Warren County. And there were soccer players in that group. They just had never had given, you know, were given the opportunity. So it's amazing to see them. And Sky, it's a soccer club, Sky Soccer Club there, has identified kids, and some of their best players are coming out of this program. So it's fascinating to see. Of course, 95% of the kids or 90% of the kids probably won't continue in terms of like a high level, but at least we're getting them outside. They're getting all the benefits of this program. We're teaching them the life skills. We're helping them with their homework, and we're hopefully making a positive impact on their lives. A byproduct of that is we will identify kids. So it'll be great to keep track of those kids and see where they go.
The website one more time?
It's gotbsoccer.org, gotbsoccer.org.
gotbsoccer.org. Tim Ryerson, who also does great work with McLean Youth Soccer, which is very much involved with the ECNL people as well, and that's where I ran into you. Look, I always like to do this kind of last word, or in case you missed it, if right now is the only time they learned about your Get on the Bus program, and it was right here, right now, what do you want to leave them with?
I just want to leave them with the fact that, hey, we're looking for partners. We're looking for chapters. And if somebody is interested, that they reach out and just look up Get on the Bus Soccer, gotbsoccer.org. Reach out and give me a call. If there's other people interested in sponsoring or partnering or supporting this cause, because obviously when we're talking about 10,000 kids, we're talking about $500 per kid or a $5 million project at the moment. So we're always looking for people that want to support it, either with their time or their talent or their treasure, per se, using that old saying. You know, if you want to volunteer, you can also do so at the website. And if you want to give, you can do it directly at the website. But more importantly than all of that, if they just want to reach out to me, I'll take the time to explain the program over a Zoom or in person. And just looking for support and get word out there so we can achieve our goal of 10,000 kids.
GOTBsoccer.org. And if they want to reach out to you, how do they do that?
So, all my information's on there. Okay. Tim@GOTBsoccer.org. It's a very simple email, Tim@GOTBsoccer.org. Or they can reach me out in McLean if they're in the DMV.
Tim Ryerson, Get on the Bus. Well done. Always like when we go beyond what we're expected to do more, Tim. So thanks for sharing your story. Great to be with you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, and I love your work, so I'm honored to be here as well.
As a soccer coach, you're no stranger to developing your players. But how are you developing your own expertise? As a United Soccer Coaches member, you receive access to a range of resources, like our online learning platform, The Training Ground, to aid in the growth and enhancement of your coaching skills and career. From coaching education courses to lifestyle services, take advantage of new opportunities and member benefits with an annual United Soccer Coaches membership for just $125. Join the home of all coaches today at unitedsoccercoaches.org.
The words of former United Soccer Coaches president and the founder of TLH Reckoning out of Tallahassee, Florida. I quote Ashley Fontes when she says, quote, "The emergence of TLH Reckoning is a long overdue pathway solution for the hotbed of prospective talent we have in Tallahassee. This has been inspired by the generations of female soccer players who have had dreams that are beyond the glass ceiling. It is time that our local talent is realized and recognized, and for us to institute the platform to access the pathways and pipelines to achieving the realities of their greatest athletic desires." Ashley Fontes is all in. That includes hiring big-time people. And just a week ago on March 7th, she named one of our favorites, Stacy Wilson, as the W League coach. Coach Wilson will lead the efforts for the TLH Reckoning pre-professional team competing in the W League. Coach Stacy Wilson will also support the TLH Reckoning reserves team competing in the USL Academy. Stacy Wilson, a gold medal winning Olympian for the United States women's national team, was also one of the few who have had her jersey retired at the first women's soccer dynasty, the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. Stacy Wilson has excelled at coaching women and men, capturing championships along the way. Additionally, she is one of the most sought after strength and conditioning performance coaches in the country. How excited is Ashley Fontes to have Stacy Wilson? Well, I'll read directly from her press release, quoting her. She says, "There couldn't be a better role model for our girls and women than Coach Wilson. She has achieved things in her career that the other 99% of us only dream of, yet one would never know because of her humble, compassionate, and service-centered approach. She's excelled as a player, a coach, and a human. I'm elated to have someone of her exceptional caliber to lead our incredible girls and women to bring new light to our Tallahassee community as a whole." With that, we welcome in a repeat customer to the United Soccer Coaches podcast. A repeat guest, of course, is what I meant, and that is the great Stacy Wilson. Stacy, congrats on being named the W League coach for TLH Reckoning. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dean. I'm really excited about it. It's a great franchise that Ashley started, and I think it'll be a new chapter in my life.
Look, you've heard a lot of people say a lot of nice things about you. Ashley Fontes, at least, you know, for me, Stacy, she's one of the smartest people I've ever met, you know, as she's also pursuing that doctor's degree, which she almost has, but kind of put it on hold to get this thing rolling. When you hear someone like her say those things about you, how does that make you feel, Stacy Wilson?
Well, for someone of Ashley's caliber to say it, I feel very honored. Obviously, I take a lot of pride in how I present myself. Growing up, there weren't a lot of Black females in the game, and I learned that someone was always watching and that I was a representation. And for me, when I look at someone like Ashley and the trail that she's blazing, I find the same, I guess, the same qualities that she says that she sees in me. She really is a leader on the business side. I'm here in Jamaica right now, and I've had a lot of friends help me make this trip happen. And Ashley herself, you know, before we even made the connection about coaching the team, she took time out of her schedule to help me get some administrative things off the ground to get it going. So she's always given her time. This franchise right here, I'm excited about it because, like you said, I had a great path in soccer, and my mission is to share that with other girls, help them through any hard times that they have in their path, and help them reach their dreams and to have those soft skills on the field that it'll take. Right now, what we have there and trying to have basically a nice connected development pathway for youth to college. Ashley's given me a lot of tools to help with coaching and a lot of resources that are going to go directly to our players' benefit. I'm honored that she would select me to coach the team.
Now, Stacy, tell us what you're doing down in Jamaica, because I'm pretty sure it has something to do with kind of what even the TLH Reckoning is about, and that's women's empowerment. What are you doing down there, Stace?
Absolutely, yeah. We're in Jamaica. Jamaica has, like many countries, a great amount of female talent, but it's undeveloped. You know, even with the way that the Jamaica made it to the World Cup further than ever, that just hasn't trickled down to the females. So we're down here trying to set a tone, change the way that people view female soccer, and create opportunities at the same time. We brought people I'm friends with. I'm sure you remember Nora McGuire. She is here with Total Soccer Development, has put on clinics for the coaches. We brought stuff for the Sports Bra Project. We're working with the biggest academies in Kingston and some of the ones that are just getting off the ground. One of our junior coaches here is from the Tallahassee Reckoning, one of our players. So she took the curriculum, and now she's here teaching the coaches, playing in with the players, and she's an absolute crowd favorite. So we are going to do the program that we did in Kingston. We're starting that program in Montego Bay tomorrow.
Well done. It's great what you're doing, not just in our country, but abroad, Stacey. Certainly salute you. I was starting to say, I first got to know you with, you know, better when you were with the WSA and the Carolina Courage, but, you know, you reminded me as you're taking on this endeavor of coaching this W League team. You played for like two or three W League teams in the past, correct?
Oh yeah. I was way back in the day, they had the Maryland Pepsi Pride, played with them. I represented the Raleigh Wings after that for quite a few years, and that's where our paths really crossed. And then when I moved down to Florida, I actually played for Tampa Bay for a couple of years and a West Palm team, actually. Yeah. So yeah, this isn't my first rodeo, but it is my first time coaching with the league.
Is this going to be a full-time gig? Or, I mean, one of the things that we've talked to you about before is you were coaching both boys and girls, I think at the high school and the club level, both. Is this all in with the Reckoning, or will you still do some of that other stuff?
We'll see. I am all in. It's going to be full-time for this W League season. Now, when it's out of season, we'll see how that goes. I like where I'm at, but I really like what I'm seeing with Ashley. So yeah, I don't want to get ahead of myself there. But we start our season May, June, July, and I'm going to be there full time, full swing.
As we've talked about before, Stacey, you are very visible with the Black Soccer Coaches community. Another fantastic event out in Anaheim. I feel like that community continues to grow and continues to have great stories to tell, like your story being named the head coach of this W League team. Just talk about the continued progress of that Black Soccer Coaches community, because it's just awesome with just such a positive, positive vibe.
Yeah. I mean, that group is, I never thought it would be such a blessing to be a part of it. They got a lot of momentum going just at the last convention. I talked to Nicole and the Black Soccer Andrew, the leadership there. And they were excited to promote the trip to make sure that we were in touch with people that might help sponsor players. And then I had the absolute honor, Lauren Donaldson's daughter, Yanish, who is a big member of Black Soccer Coaches. She has family in Kingston still. So she jumped on a plane and got down here and went to work. I mean, she just was a pro on the ground, helped us coach, do registration. She was just... So Black Soccer Coaches, I mean, it just the blessings keep coming.
Speaking of blessings, I actually got a Tallahassee Reckoning jersey in the mail from Ashley Fontes. I think I'm supposed to do something on social media with it, so I got to figure out what I need to do, but it's certainly beautiful.
Well, you better do it something. I'll send you a scarf too. Yeah, those jerseys are awesome. And the players are, I thought it was really cool that the players contributed to the design. So they weren't just handed a kit. They got to take part in choosing it.
That is awesome. Yeah, no, I love this and received it with pride. We'll wear it with pride and I'll post it with pride. And then, Stacey, I just want to end with the fact that the three guiding values that Ashley Fontes lists for TLH Reckoning is...
Glad you mentioned that. The power within.
Yeah.
Growth mindset and self-accountability. I mean, like I said, whenever I... Things like that, that's where I know I'm at the right place. You know, that's what it's all about.
Power within, growth mindset, and self-accountability. I can feel it from you, Stacey Wilson. Congrats, you know, and appreciate you taking some time out of what is a busy schedule in Jamaica just 1 week after being announced as the W League coach with TLH Reckoning. So proud of you, Stacey Wilson. We'll follow your progress, and you are welcome anytime on the United Soccer Coaches podcast, okay?
All right. I appreciate that, Dean. You're always so sweet to me, and I love you.
Love you too, Stacey Wilson, and certainly love the work that Garen Taylor Tyree continues to do as the chair of the Veterans Active Military and Affiliates Community, also known as the VAMA Coaches Community. He made sure that I once again talked to the head coach, Major Aaron Eisler, and I was also joined by Lieutenant Colonel Marcy Walton. We'll hear from Major Eisler and Lieutenant Colonel Marcy Walton, part of the Veterans Active Military and Affiliate Soccer Coaches Community, after this message.
Does it feel like all you're doing to manage your team, club, or league is busy work? If so, League Apps can help you get back to doing what you love, delivering a powerful yet simple youth sports management platform. From robust registration and payment tools to automated communications and other software integrations, League Apps saves you time and headaches. Less busy work, more time doing what you love. Go to leagueapps.com to learn more. League Apps is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the United Soccer Coaches podcast.
Welcome back to the United Soccer Coaches podcast. Evergreen Material Podcast Row is part of the 2024 United Soccer Coaches Convention in Anaheim, California. Wonderful people with love in their hearts and love for the game of soccer. So pleased to be joined by Aaron Eisler and Marcy Walton, who are part of the newly formed community with United Soccer Coaches called the Veterans Active Military and Affiliates, led by Garen Taylor Tyree. I saw him earlier in the week. Aaron's been on the program as well before. Aaron, welcome back.
Thank you. Nice to see you again.
Yeah. Remind me what your role is with the Veterans Active Military and Affiliates.
Sure. So I'm the head coach, and Marcy's our assistant coach for the Armed Forces Women's Soccer Team. So Garen brought us in as part of this new community to represent women's coaching in the Armed Forces.
Awesome. So you're actually here learning to become a better coach. I mean, you're taking everything in.
Absolutely. It's been fantastic. We've heard from really great coaches here, seen some excellent demonstrations, and we were also able to present as well with some of our techniques that we've learned to build chemistry in 2 weeks, because that's all we have to bring together all of our athletes every year to go perform.
Remind me your military background, and then get ready, Miss Walton. I'll be asking you the same question, but remind me your military background.
I'm an Air Force officer. I do intelligence. I'm a graduate of the Air Force Academy, and I've been in it for about 15 years now.
Okay.
And all right. Marcy? Yeah, so I'm similar to Aaron, played at the Air Force Academy, and then got commissioned, went to pilot training. So I've been flying mobility aircraft all around the world for the last 15 plus years. Finishing up my 20 years of service this year, 2024, I'm at a pilot training base in Mississippi, so flying the T-6 Texan, teaching the next generation of young aviators.
Wow, incredible. Meanwhile, I'm a broadcaster.
Wow.
You guys are awesome. Thanks for your service and what you do. I told Erin last time she was on, you know, I lived in Colorado Springs, and the Air Force Academy, I've probably been there 50 times, because anytime anybody visited, I went out there. Were you there too as well?
And yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, born and raised, actually, Colorado Springs.
No way.
Yeah.
One
beautiful
of my favorite
area.
Places in the world, actually. Is your family still there?
They are. My mom and dad, yep. Connie and Ed are living in the Springs. My dad was obviously, he was West Point Army stationed at Fort Carson, so I grew up in that area.
Awesome. Well, as you think about it now, and Aaron and I talked about it when she was on, how cool is it that Garen Taylor Tyree got this community going within United Soccer Coaches?
Yeah, we're pumped, honestly, just to get this exposure and this development for us as coaches, and really to inspire our next group of Armed Forces players to do the same. I mean, future leaders, future coaches of America within this program, and we're excited to get them connected with this VAMA organization.
Yeah, and have you guys had any meetings with the community while you were here this week? Or
we've had about three.
Okay.
different goals for each of those meetings. Sometimes it's just bonding over some beers or what have you. But getting goals set for this community, there's so much we have to offer, so much the United Soccer Coaches has to offer us, and it's a great community, and I'm just excited to see where it goes.
All right, awesome. And then remind me, what's the next official competition where you guys are actually playing for something?
Well, that's always the big question. Right around January of each year, the calendars are released for the competitions. We're still waiting to hear if there's going to be an international competition for women's soccer. We know for men, they have an armed forces tournament set up. We're still kind of working through the details on when our tournament's going
to
be.
Right. So we're beholden to the government budget, which is under a continuing resolution. So, but that being said, we know for sure 2027 World Military Games, so equivalent to the Olympics in South Africa.
All right, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and just see where it goes, and maybe this will stay, maybe it won't. But obviously there's a lot going on right now in the world, right? You represent the military. Do you have any thoughts about, you know, what is going on and how serious it is and that type of thing?
Sure. That's why Armed Forces Sports is so important. So we play under an organization, international organization called CISM, which has been around since World War II. And the whole purpose of Armed Forces Sports is so we can meet other countries' military members on a sports field rather than the battlefield. So I think given any global events, the world's always going to be having constant churn, right? So sports is so important to make those connections and make those friendships to keep those things going at our level.
Absolutely. I'll echo the same thing. I mean, anytime you get to build partnerships with other nations on the sports field, I think it just benefits, all of those things that Aaron was talking about.
All right. Well, thanks for letting me ask the question. I hope that was okay. I feel better knowing that you guys are involved in it as well, and I mean that so much, and love that you're also involved in the game. So thanks for being back on again, and great to have you on as well.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on the United Soccer Coaches Podcast.
Thanks,
we're honored to be here. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Cool.
Thank you.
Performance analysis is now recognized as having a crucial role to play in any coaching program. The United Soccer Coaches Performance Analysis Level 1 Special Topics Diploma will provide coaches with real-world examples of how analysis is being used to enhance the individual player development process and maximize team performance. Additionally, successful candidates will achieve Level 1 accreditation as an Applied Performance Analyst from the International Society of Performance Analysis of Sport. Register now by visiting the Master Course schedule on unitedsoccercoaches.org.
Welcome back to the United Soccer Coaches Podcast. As you know, it's my favorite part of the show as we meet another outstanding member of the United Soccer Coaches 30 under 30 class, 15 women under 30, 15 men under 30 who are doing great things for the game. We love the game of soccer. And with that, I'm so pleased to be joined by Tyler Smaha, who is now the associate head coach for the University of Kansas, Rock Chalk, of course. He was previously with Coach Lee at Xavier. We just had Coach Lee on the United Soccer Coaches Podcast after he was named the top man at Kansas. We all know that it takes a village. He talked very highly of his coaching staff, including Tyler Smaha, who, by the way, obviously is also a member of the United Soccer Coaches 30 under 30 class. So that makes this perfect. Tyler, welcome to the United Soccer Coaches Podcast.
Appreciate it, Dean. Thanks for having me on.
Congratulations on the move to Kansas. Obviously a little bit different than Cincinnati and Xavier, but you said you've been there a couple months now. Are you settling in? How are things going, Tyler?
Yeah, definitely settling in very well. We were just talking about your wife. My wife is from Montgomery, Alabama. And so the day we moved here, January 11th, I believe it was like 15 below with wind chill. So that first week that we were here, I think it was a little bit of a shock to her system. However, the weather has balanced out. Very grateful and blessed that we were able to find a home here in Lawrence. So personally settled in, and professionally coming over with Nate, who I had a lot of familiarity with at Xavier, Daniel Baker, who we worked with at Xavier for a year, and then Tiffany Hansen and Sean Soderling, who had interacted with and are both awesome people. It's just been a nice transition to be able to do it with some awesome people. And then the team's been great as well. And so first couple months, still feel like there's a lot to get done and accomplish, but also very grateful and happy with how the first couple months have been here in Lawrence.
That sounds great. I feel like I know a lot of those coaches that are on the coaching staff, really good people dedicated to the game. Tyler Smaha has a national diploma as well as a C license.
He was part of Xavier's 2021 Big East coaching staff of the year. But Tyler, I want to know more. Like, give me your whole story, where you were born, where you kind of grew up. Did you play in college? When did you get into coaching? I know that's a lot, but, you know, take your time. Let's get to know you a little bit better.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Dean. Born and raised in Des Moines, Iowa. So lived there, let's see, the first 24 years of my life. I'm 29 now. And so I played at Simpson College, Division III. They're right outside of Des Moines. After I graduated college, I graduated with a business management degree with secondary education as well. And so a teaching background, but also kind of a business management leadership background as well. I worked in corporate sports sales sponsorships for Learfield IMG College with Iowa State University. And so I did that for 18 months, kind of got to the point to where I had to decide, is this going to become my career or do I want to pivot into something that I might be more passionate about? At the time, I'd been coaching part-time club, high school, but also been volunteering at Drake University with Gareth Smith on the men's side. And through those interactions and through a lot of conversations with Gareth, recognized that coaching was where I was passionate. And so honestly, Dean, I just took the first full-time college position I could get, which was a graduate assistant position at Fort Hays State University with Blake Reynolds, who's still a great friend and mentor to me as well. And so I did that in the fall of 2019. As you know, then the world shut down with the coronavirus pandemic. And so I'm sitting at home in spring of 2020 and just trying to think about how I can break in at the Division I level. And so long story short, I identified 10 to 15 programs in the country that, based on researching their head coaches, listening to interviews, maybe some prior interactions, as well as programs that I thought were very successful at the Division I level, I put together various reports with data and video for them and sent them off as kind of a networking tool just to kind of spark some conversation. Xavier obviously was one of those with Nate Lee. It led to a variety of conversations throughout that spring and summer of 2020 and other projects with him. And he offered me a volunteer role to join his staff in the fall of 2020. I've been with Nate then since 2020. So I was a volunteer in the first season of 2020, 2021 through 2023, was an assistant with him as well as the associate head coach with Katie Edelman, who's an amazing friend of mine as well. And then when he got the job at KU, he asked me to join him, and it was a no-brainer for Kendall, my wife, and I to come along for the ride. So I know there was a lot there, but that's kind of the long story short of my coaching path to date.
There's a lot there because you have a lot to offer. That was a great update, Tyler. I really enjoyed it. And how much did you like Cincinnati, by the way? Obviously, that's now in the rear view mirror, but just upon reflection, did you enjoy your time in Cincinnati?
I loved my time in Cincinnati. I met my wife in Cincinnati. I feel I grew a lot as an individual in Cincinnati, have some amazing friends and community in Cincinnati, and it's a great city. So yeah, all positive things to say about my time there.
And then let me just also say that having worked for the Big Ten Network for a long time, Iowa, and people always kind of look at me with three eyes. I love Iowa. I love going to Iowa City. I love the people. I mean, what they've done with the Hawkeyes, of course, now Caitlin Clark and everything else. And, you know, I know you were in Des Moines, but it's not that far away. I've flown into Des Moines before. Iowa's a pretty cool place.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I think most people that aren't from Iowa don't have much of a desire to visit Iowa. And it's probably pretty similar with Kansas, to be quite frank. However, yeah, like you said, I've built some amazing relationships with people in Iowa. And Iowa's kind of that state where if you grow up there, a lot of people will stay there because it's very family oriented, community oriented. Cost of living is very affordable. And so there's a lot of things that have going for it, for sure.
I really did like your story, how you started with Learfield IMG. I'm very familiar with them. And I might end our conversation with a little story of my own about Learfield that I think you'll appreciate. But, you know, I have often said, even when I speak to Rotary or I speak to classes, like, you got to find your passion, but don't forget that you also need these other skill sets. So I actually admire that you, in, you know, as part of what you did, you have this skill set to sell, because essentially what you're doing every day is you're kind of selling, right? The buy-in to the team, the buy-in to the culture, all of it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. One of my values that I try to live by every day and hopefully teach to our players is just that investment and being willing to do things that are going to hopefully lead to success. And so for me, getting into coaching, my objective was just make myself as marketable as possible. And so can I try to educate, self-teach myself in every aspect of a program, whether it's video analysis, strength and conditioning, running training, recruiting, so that no matter what the position was, I wanted to feel like I had competencies and could go in and do a good job of it. And so that was kind of my objective as I was with Learfield and knew I was pivoting into coaching, was how can I make myself as marketable as possible as I try to break into the game? And fortunately, Nate took a chance on me, and I'm very grateful for him for that.
We're here with 30 under 30 member Tyler Smaha. We're four in to the 30. We'll have them all done in 30 weeks because of the great work that Sarah Wilbur does. Now, when were you made aware of the 30 under 30 program? Tyler, did you apply multiple times? And what was it about the 30 under 30 program that drew you to it?
Yeah, I've applied. I think this was my third cycle applying. And so I've been quite intentional about trying to get into the program. I think for me, just trying to continue to grow and learn as much as possible. I think one of the things I try to hold myself to is just being curious about different ways to grow, not only professionally, personally, spiritually. And the 30 under 30 provides an awesome platform to get around coaches who are hungry to learn, and then also people like yourself to where you can learn from and network. And so it's definitely been something that's been something that I've been trying to prioritize becoming a part of. So I'm, again, very grateful to be here and be on this conversation with you.
I mentioned to you that we had Coach Lee on not that long ago. He was brilliant. I found his story fascinating, basically admitting that he really didn't, you know, pick up a whistle till he was 30 years old, even though he looks like he's 25 and he's kind of run with it, right? I mean, I think that makes him an interesting character. What's it like to work for him?
If you think he looks 25, you should see him run fitness, because he's he's probably the most fit person I've ever been around as it relates to the team. I've never seen him lose in a fitness race with anyone around the program. So that's a credit to him. Yeah, I think Nate, like, he's an incredible human being first and foremost. I think the tactical side and the analytical side of the game is certainly important, but I think especially in the college environment, a lot of the times it's run like an organization because there's so much done off the field. And I think it's so much about building relationships. And so when I wanted to get into coaching, I probably emailed 200 coaches just looking for advice and ways that they could, you know, help me get into the game and I could just learn from them. I found Nate's story to be really fascinating as well, just because he worked in the business field for upwards of 10 years prior to getting into coaching. And so I felt some similarities with his path and my own. And so I had reached out to him after listening to him on a podcast, actually. And within 24 hours of me emailing him blindly, we were on the phone for 90 minutes. And so I think even just that first interaction with him showed me his intentionality. It showed me his authenticity. And I think that, coupled with the success that he had been having at Xavier, made him someone that I really tried to be intentional about kind of just attaching myself to. But yeah, like, it's not show. I think how he interacted with you on the podcast is exactly how he is every day with our players, with his staff. And I think that consistency is what's allowed him and the programs that he's led to be successful.
Yeah. And you told me before we came on the air that he makes all of his coaches do all of the fitness with the players. You weren't kidding, right, Tyler? Like, that's for real?
It's for real. I won't say that he makes you. He certainly does not make you, but he presents it as an option. And at least for myself, it's tough for me to stand on the side while other coaches are doing it. I think credibility is a really important piece of getting players to buy in and invest. And so, yeah, that's, at least for me personally, it's something that I've embraced as well. And it's been a nice change of pace for sharing it. Anytime you can get an extra workout in during the day with your players, it's never a bad thing either.
Yeah, it feels less like a workout when you do it that way. That's well said for sure. Tyler Smaha. Tyler, kind of going back to, you know, applying for the 30 under 30 and being diligent, being persistent. I admire that. When you did get word that you were part of this class, you'll be recognized in Chicago. Who was your first call or email to?
It was probably my dad. Yeah, my dad's been a huge mentor of mine as well. He doesn't have a playing background. However, he was the founding president of Sporting Iowa, the biggest club in the state of Iowa. And so he's been an awesome sounding board, friend, support through my coaching pathway. And so as I apply for different things and as different things kind of happen for me professionally, or even things that I just want to get his advice on from a leadership standpoint, he's always my first call. And so, yeah, he was my first, and I know he was proud of me for that.
All right. Well, one thing I always like to remind our guest, Tyler, is your dad has a name. So let's hear his name. Let's hear your family members' names, too, if we can.
Yeah, so my mom's name is Tammy Smaha. My dad is Jeff. My stepmom is Shelly. I have three siblings, Ryan, Josh, and Chelsea, and all of them are still in Iowa and have all played a huge, huge impact in our lives. My wife and I, as I mentioned, my wife's name is Kendall, and it's nicer to be a little bit closer to them. At Xavier, we were 8.5 hours from Des Moines, and now we're 3 hours. So looking forward to being able to spend some more time with them in this new position as well.
Tyler Smaha, these are a little tougher. Your greatest memory as a soccer player, any level, youth, high school, college, whatever, and then follow that up, please, sir, with your greatest memory as a soccer coach.
Yeah, great question. I think, honestly, for me, it's less about the game that I remember the most, and it's most about just like the people that you go through adversity and good times with. My college roommate, Matt Tennyson, is a soccer coach as well. And so I just remember going through the grind of a college season with him. I remember waking up. We always joke because we would wake up at like 5 a.m. and do these agility ladders right outside our dorm room together. And like at the time it was horrible, but looking back on it, I think we were able to form a real bond through those times of adversity or stupidity, whichever you want to call them. And so I think for me, it's less about the game as a player and more about just the people that I spent time with. As a coach, I'd say the game that I'm most proud of and that I remember the most is in 2022. At Xavier, we beat Tennessee in the first round of the NCAA tournament. It was 1-1 going into overtime, and we put 3 goals on them in overtime to win 4-1. And it was just a game that like you could feel the energy, you could feel the like passion from our players. And when all those goals went in overtime, like the celebrations were awesome. After the game, all the players and coaches like fully clothed, fully uniform, we went and jumped in the pool, and we were like screaming in the pool at 1 a.m. And you could see everyone opening up their hotel windows, like looking down at the pool to see who was going crazy. And so again, like the game itself was awesome, but also the memories that we formed afterwards too.
Tyler Smaha crushing this interview, a member of our 30 under 30 class. He's the associate head coach now for the University of Kansas after great success with Coach Lee at Xavier. Tyler, if you've listen to any of my interviews with the 30 under 30 members, I always like to ask that crystal ball question. Some know kind of exactly what they want to do in 10 years. Some have no idea. Some are perfectly happy right where they are. Where do you see yourself in 10 years, Tyler Smaha?
It's a great question, Dean. I think I'll start by saying, like, if someone told me 5 to 10 years ago I'd be in this position right now, I'd say there's just no way. And so I think it's a testament to the gifts that God has given me and like just trying to do whatever I can to live those out, in his favor. And so, yeah, like I had zero expectation that I'd be at Kansas in 2024 working with Nate, you know, married, all of these things. Like, so for me at the beginning of my career, it was just like, I want to work at the highest level possible. And so I was like, how can I be a Division I coach? How can I be a pro coach? As I've kind of shifted and gotten married and now I'm in this environment, it's now working at the highest level with the right people. And so when Nate got the job at Kansas, I had already spoken to my wife prior about, hey, like there's a few different options and a few different avenues we can take, but if he gets this and he wants us to go, like we decided we were doing it. And we had a lot of peace with that because I just know the man that Nate is and the values that he has. And it directly reflects how I want to live my life too. And so when he got it, I was like, yep, I'm in. And he's like, hey, do you need the night to think about this? I was like, nope, I'm in. And so just knew right away, this was what was right. You know, I want to be present in this position. I want to prioritize my faith and my wife and my family, but also being ambitious and hungry in my career. And I think you can do both as long as you're surrounded with the right people. And so what that looks like in 10 years, honestly, no idea. But I think as long as I stick to these values, I'll be where I'm supposed to be.
I like that answer as well. And I liked your take on the 30 under 30 class. To be fair, I've been around it long enough. We've been doing this show every week for 52 weeks a year for double digit years, believe it or not. And, you know, as I reflect on it, one of the things I'm realizing is sometimes just the stamp alone of being a 30 under 30 member has helped a ton of great coaches. Others have, you know, specific goals in mind with what they're going to do with the 30 under 30. Have you thought about that at all? Like what you want to get out of being a member of the 30 under 30 class, Tyler?
Yeah, I think for me, it's just, again, like one of the things I try to hold myself to is being curious and learning from others. And so it just provides a platform to do that and learn from people who are in different environments, different contexts, but I can learn a ton from. And so, you know, throughout this next 12 months of working in group projects and this conversation and things alike, just try to soak up as much as I can with it, but then also form relationships to where moving forward, we can talk about life and the profession, and just how we can kind of grow together. So that's what I'm hoping to gain from it. I want to be challenged through this experience as well, because I think I'm trying to continually find ways to get outside of my comfort zone. And so I think the 30 under 30 provides a good balance of that challenge piece, but also the chance just to be around and surround yourself with people who want to learn.
You hear these three words, United Soccer Coaches. What do those three words mean to Tyler Smaha?
I think it's the community aspect is really important in coaching. And so United Soccer Coaches, I think, provides a great pathway for that. I think that coaching is a profession that can consume you if you aren't careful. And so it's a way that you can stay mindful of what actually matters. And it's the people that you surround yourself with and that you go through good times and bad times with. And so I think United Soccer Coaches is just about a community of people who want the best for one another. And I think it provides great platforms to do that through its courses, through its convention, all the different avenues that it provides.
You really sound like a man who, with conviction, wants to put himself in the right places. So I want to go back to the fact that you said you worked for Learfield for over a year. And then I'll tell you my Learfield story as well. And, you know, Learfield's great. They've obviously created a ton of jobs for young people that have gone on to do great things. But, you know, one day you wake up and you're like, this isn't exactly what I want to do. What was that Malcolm Gladwell tipping point for you? Like, what was the took you over the edge to say, no, I don't want to do this. I want to get back on the field.
It's a great question. I think, again, like Gareth Smith has played a huge role in my coaching development as well. And so he was a mentor for me through that time. But what I realized, Dean, was I was working at Learfield. It was my full-time job. I was working 40 hours a week. I was coaching college and club and high school on a part-time basis, so probably 10 hours a week. And it was paying me a fraction of what I was getting through Learfield. But I recognized all of my thoughts were consumed by the soccer side. And so right away, I realized, like, I want to be in a profession where every day I wake up hungry and curious and want to be the best I can be. And I found that through coaching. And so that was the tipping point for me. And like, it just continued to be affirmed through my first 3 years in coaching, because in 2018, 19, 20, my first 3 years coaching college soccer, I made $0 from the respective universities. And that was something for me that I was like, I didn't even think twice about it, because I knew I was loving every second of what I was doing. And I was kind of just like, I'm going to figure it out financially. And that's something that I'm grateful for, but also proud of, that I recognized like satisfaction and joy comes from what you do every day and not what you earn. Fortunately, I knew that wasn't a sustainable style of life, working three jobs and working, you know, 14 hours a day, just being able to coach. And so again, I have a ton of gratitude towards Nate for giving me my first full-time position in the game and being able to continue to work for him in that capacity for the past four seasons now.
So I'll try to make mine quick, because this is about you, but I just want to kind of get your reaction. You know, I was lucky out of college to get an internship, well, in college with U.S. Soccer. I started working for U.S. Soccer while I was in college. I would even leave for, you know, World Cup qualifying games and travel all over the place and then come back to Ohio U to finish up my degree. Didn't even walk through commencement, started. We moved to Chicago. I went with the Olympic team, then came back, was with the World Cup team, became the director of communications for MLS, really wanted to be a broadcaster. Last team name was Colorado Rapids. Got that job 3 years in. My Brazilian wife had a baby, didn't love the snow. We moved to North Carolina because the courage were starting with the WSA. I was still living my dream. And then the courage went away. So now here I was going, oh my, like I thought I was, you know, going to be this full-time broadcaster after all these other cool things I did. What do I do now? And I mentioned to you that I do have this sales acumen. So I started working for a local radio station and then a bunch of websites geared around the ACC, including GoHeels.com. Learfield bought the company that was running the marketing sports properties for North Carolina. And when they bought it, they bought everybody but me. My owner kept me to run a radio station and do everything, but Learfield kept knocking on the door. They wanted me to go down to Arkansas. I went down there. I looked at it, and I basically said, I'm from Ohio. I said, look, when a Big Ten school opens up and there's a president job of their sports properties, I'd probably consider it. So lo and behold, Purdue opened up.
Yep.
And we're kind of digging North Carolina, but I met Morgan Burke, the AD from the Big Ten, and I took the job, went there 2 weeks, went to Colorado for training, really enjoyed the people, but, you know, realized that North Carolina was home. My kids loved North Carolina and everything else. And after 2 weeks, I actually gathered every single dollar that Learfield had spent on me, because there was a big radio group coming after me back in North Carolina that drew me back. And by the way, I was in West Lafayette in the middle of the winter, not exactly a good time to win you over. But long story short, the guy who ran all these radio stations in North Carolina cut a check for every dollar they spent on me. And I was able to walk it into Morgan Burke and just say, you know, hey, my heart's not here, but I don't want you to lose anything other than the 2 weeks. And that was the end of my Learfield story. And then the broadcasting thing took off with the Fox Soccer Game of the Week and the Big Ten Network. So sometimes I guess my point is, just like what you said, you got to go where your heart is, right, Tyler?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's I think that's a great story. And I think it shows like the humility of two, recognizing the investment they had in you and then being willing to say, hey, this isn't going to make sense for me after being here for a couple of weeks, but here's everything that you compensated me with. So I think that's a key takeaway for me from that story too, is not just like giving up after 2 weeks, but just recognizing like my heart's not in this. You can find somebody better, but then also giving them back the investment they had made in you. But yeah, it sounds like neither one of us thought Learfield was our passion place to be, but it's an awesome company too. I really enjoyed my time there.
Yeah, and I really feel like the work they do, particularly with young people that want to get involved in sports, is incredible. Tyler Smaha, a member of our 30 under 30 class, really great interview. You know, I'm sorry that all of you, including Coach Lee, have to live in the shadow of the man who calls me the big homie, Sean Soderling. But please give Sean my best. He's a big personality, as you know. Give Tiffany my best. I've known her for a long time. Nate, the whole gang. I hope you guys do great things with Kansas women's soccer. And congrats on being a member of the 30 under 30 class, Tyler.
Yeah, appreciate it, Dean. Thanks for the work that you do to help people like myself, you know, share their thoughts and opinions and all the information you're putting out to grow the game. It's greatly appreciated.
My pleasure, especially meeting people like you. That's going to do it for this week's United Soccer Coaches Podcast. I want to thank all of our guests, including Tyler. Also want to thank Dylan Kittner and my producer, Colin Thrash, for each and every one of them. And all of you, I'm Dean Linke. This is the United Soccer Coaches Podcast presented by League Apps. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the United Soccer Coaches Podcast, presented by League Apps. League Apps is the leading youth sports management platform, providing organizations with the technology and professional development they need to run, grow, and win. To learn more about League Apps, find them at leagueapps.com or as League Apps on all of the social networks. And to learn more about United Soccer Coaches, visit us at unitedsoccercoaches.org.